2 Corinthians 4 this morning. We've been discussing missions. Our missions conference is coming up. I'm excited about that. I hope you are as well. I hope you've been praying ahead of it and what the Lord will have us do as a church through missions in the upcoming years and time to come. I appreciate what we're able to do, but I think with faith and willing hearts, God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we could ever think or ask. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. This morning, I want to preach a message to you that's dear to me, one I haven't preached before, but one that is also very convicting to me. And I think that God is, well, I'm going to be honest with you, God has dealt with me through creating this message and writing this message. God, the Holy Spirit has dealt with me in tremendous ways, and I think that He can help you as He has helped me if you'll allow Him to do so. But now let's pray, and we'll get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, for the song service we had. Thank You, Lord, for the junior church kids who just went back. Lord, I thank You so much for their souls. Lord, it blessed my heart to see that young lady's mother find that note this week, and her goal in life, Lord, is to know more about Jesus. Lord, what a blessing that is to see fruit for our labor and to be able to share that. And Lord, to understand that the mission we have here is great. And Lord, we know we can't outgive You. We never have been able to, and we never will be able to. And we're so thankful, God, that You've allowed us to be just a part of the tremendous blessing that You've given all of us. Lord, thank You for everything. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Lord, as we preach this morning and teach, I pray, God, Your people will hear from heaven. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask You to bind the devil off this place this morning. Lord, he has no way here, no will here, no power here. Holy Spirit, just come down and have Your will and way with Your people this morning. Thank You so much for allowing us to be in Your house. Thank You for the house You've given us to worship in. Lord, many people are desperate for places to worship. And Lord, I'm thankful we have one. Lord, I'm thankful we have one that we can be free in. And we can preach Your Bible. Now, God, just meet with us in a mighty way this morning. And Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, we'll start in verse number 1. We'll read a few verses, and then we'll preach and get you out of here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this, what's that next word, church? Ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. I'm going to stop there just for a second and clarify something. This is something that the Lord really, really got on to me about just this week, here recently, is everything that God has ever given us is only because He has the power to do it. We get busy doing things and winning souls and discipling and teaching and preaching, and it's real easy for me, and probably easy for some of you to kind of sit back sometimes and just think, look what we've done. Look what we have done. Well, the Lord kind of spoke to me this week and reminded me the only reason that you or anybody else has a ministry that's moving forward is because I'm allowing you to have that. And I realize at any moment, God could take His sovereign hand off of our ministry. He could take that mercy away from us. He could take away the blessings that we get to give praise about on Sunday nights. He could take away the reality is, listen, there are people around the globe this morning that don't have the opportunity to come sit in a nice, comfortable building, on nice, comfortable pews, and have junior church workers and junior church kids and vans to go pick kids up. There are people who wish they had what we have here. People all over the globe who are risking their actual lives just opening up the Word of God, because if they get caught, they're dead. We have way more than we deserve. God has blessed us tremendously. And it's because of His mercy that we have anything. God spoke to me about that this week. And He said, you know, Drew, without My mercy, you have nothing. We better start remembering why we have anything. It's because of His, what, church? Mercy. How many would agree that God is a merciful God? And how many would agree that we are a very undeserving people? We do not deserve anything that God has given us. Meanwhile, while there's people around the globe, we're talking about missions. I'm trying to talk about missions leading up to this missions conference. And I wish that some of us could take a trip sometime to a third world country and realize what it's really like to want to go to church and want to have a pastor. Hey, I've been to villages in Alaska that don't have a preacher. Villages of 200 people, villages of 1,000 people, villages of 30 people who, guess what, are excited and do anything they can when a missionary decides to go in there and preach just a one-week revival. They'll give their whole heart to that 1 week. And then they'll beg and plead for God to send a preacher to them. See, God's given us all that stuff. We don't think about it so much because we don't live that life. But what if you lived in a place where you had no preacher? Some of you might say that wouldn't be so bad. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful for my preacher. I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful I still have his phone number and I still call him my pastor because he is. I'm thankful I can call him right now. And unless he's preaching, and he ain't right now, he'd answer. Because he loves me. Because he cares. We're talking about missions. You know, there's people coming in here next month. Missionaries going here, there. Some are to America. And America needs missionaries. And I'm glad that some of them are our own. You know, we have Pastor Roach and Mrs. Roach coming in. He's a retired veteran out of the U.S. Marine Corps. And he preaches all over our country, week in and week out. And he lives by faith. But he goes in and he preaches the reality that America needs Jesus. But what about the other countries who are thirsty for a missionary? Thirsty for God's local church over here, who God has provided for, to by faith, prayerfully, and financially send them. Listen, they can't go without money. They can't. You try it. And you might say, well, that's not my problem. Well, I like what you preached this morning, Brother Walter, about that crown. See, God made it our problem when He said, go ye. Now, you might not physically be able to go, but you can pray. If God's given you the ability to give, you can give. But don't give begrudgingly. Don't do it. Give because God's allowed you to. God loveth a cheerful what? Giver. And what better way to invest your money? By the way, God's money. God's money. What better way to invest it than into a soul? You know, I can't wait to get to heaven, Brother Tim, one day and see people that I'll never meet on this side. I'll never ever see them. But I can't wait to go visit some of those people from those 36 churches that Brother Bobby's established. And I can't wait to see them. I won't even know their language, but in heaven I think I will. I think I'll be able to understand. I really appreciate your prayers and your financial support from your church. Because without that preacher, I'd have never known Jesus. That makes it worth it. See, this thing's really not about us. It's about God. It's about God and what He's able to do. Verse 2 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Now again, Paul is here preaching to a church. And now, again, I mean, I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but everybody's got problems. Amen. He does. He's coming in. The Bible wouldn't have this stuff in it if it did not exist. And it doesn't need to be that every time something is preached, I'm sure Paul dealt with it too. It doesn't need to be that every time something is preached and the Holy Ghost does His job and convicts you, that you get mad and upset. It needs to be, oh God, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for doing your job. I'm going to tell you something. If I got offended every single time that God convicted me, I wouldn't be here this morning. I'd just quit. We need to stop being upset that God is doing what He said He was going to do. You signed up for it when you accepted Him. You inherited a Holy Ghost who's going to do His job whether we like it or not. So here we have Paul preaching to the church. Paul's trying to get this church from step one to step two. What God wants to do with our church and every church on the globe is get us from this point to this point to this point to this point. How is it that some churches that are smaller than ours give millions of dollars a year to missions? How? Because they understand one thing. Everything they have is because of God's mercy. Everything. That's what they understand. God, you have given me the ability to make money. You have given me the ability to provide for my family. You've given me the ability to give to my church. You've given me the ability to be a very established financial individual. And because of that, I want to honor you in everything I have. And God says, please do that. Because I'm going to show you blessings that you can't even imagine. I'm going to show you who I really am. I'm going to show you just how big I am. And I'll tell you, I know some people that are like that. And if you could hear some of their stories, and it blows my mind, Brother Scott, to hear some of the stories and some of the amounts of money that some people are able to give. I don't understand it. I'll never be able to do that unless God makes me a billionaire. But you know what they got? They got on board with God's in control. Amen? It's all His. And it blows my mind. I'm thinking, how in the world do you do that? He said, I don't know. I just did what God asked me to do. And the blessings just kept on coming. And coming, and coming, and coming. Verse 2 says this, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. You know, we need more churches that don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. We need some churches that don't understand that the Bible's right. Amen. Amen? Not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Then I love verse 3. He goes on to tell them, because of verse number 2, here's what happens if a church is living in verse number 2. Your gospel will be hid. Y'all listening now? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what, church? So, let's go over the dangers of verse number 2. What is my mission at New Hope Independent Baptist Church? What is my mission as a member of this church? It should be my mission as a member of a local New Testament church to faint not. Look at verse number 1. What word faint means this? It means lacking conviction. Lacking conviction, boldness or courage, timid, lacking clarity. As a member of a local New Testament church, if I'm lacking conviction, listen now, I'm probably lacking Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how could you say that? Well, because my Bible teaches me that the Holy Ghost brings conviction. And if I'm saved, number one, you ain't ever saved without conviction. Period. There ain't no come when you're ready. You come when God says come. The Holy Spirit of God is the only one who can convict a sinner unto salvation. The only one. There is no, I'll do it when I'm ready. No, you know you will not. You'll do it when God calls you, or you'll not do it at all. You cannot help but be convicted when you're an actual member of the body of Christ. I think a lot of people are confused on church membership and what that actually entails. Can I say this? The first step to being able to be a member of a local New Testament church is to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think we'll be surprised when we get to heaven one day and we look around for the members of our church. And we're thinking, where is she at? She was a member for 40 years. How is she not here? Well, because being a member of a church ain't getting us to heaven. Where's he at? He was a deacon in the church. He was here faithfully. Always there when you needed him. A faithful member. They go to hell every day. Why? Because they rejected Jesus. You know, our Bible teaches that salvation is not of works. It's nothing in and of ourselves that we can do to get there. Being here on Sunday morning ain't going to get you there. No reason not to come to church, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Many people come and sit in the pews, and they'll give their tithes, they'll give their offerings, they'll give to missions, they'll give to this, they'll give to that, but really have zero conviction about what God is actually calling them to do. The it's not my problem mentality. Folks, what if God felt about you how you feel about other people? What if it just wasn't God's problem that you were a lost, worthless, low down, vile, wicked, headed to hell sinner, and he looked at you and said, that's all you are, that's all you're ever going to be, tough luck. You know, that's how a lot of church people look at people. It's just not my problem, preacher. Not my dog in the fight. Let me tell you something. It is your problem. It is my problem. It is my family's problem. God has given each and every one of us this problem. And then why would you want to be a member of a local church and not be on board with what we're trying to do? What's our goal? Die with $1 million? What's our goal? When we die, who's going to get the money then? Our missionaries, thanks to our Constitution. I'm just saying, what are we really doing? Where's our heart really at? I don't read about any of these churches that were established here worried about how much money they have. They trusted the Lord in everything they did, and God took care of them. It's real quiet in here this morning. Real quiet. All you got to do is trust the Lord and understand that God has it all figured out. You just be faithful and God will never fail. Forgetting the real truth that Jesus Christ has called us all into the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That means no matter the cost, every single person I come in contact with needs to hear the gospel. Needs to hear the gospel. I told you, and listen, how do you know God's convicting? Listen, just the other day, I told this story Wednesday, I believe. I'm at Dollar General. I'd never met this family in my life, but I seen a husband and a wife in there with 5 little children. And the Lord kept saying, Drew, go tell them about me. Go give them a gospel tract. And I'm like, God, I'm at Dollar General. I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to get home. That lady's wrestling with her children. That guy's trying to fight the children to get them in the car. I have every excuse under the sun not to do it. And so I'm like, okay, he's going to go to his car. He's going to put his cart away. He's going to get in his car and he's going to leave. And the Holy Spirit said, don't start your car, son. I already told you what you need to be doing. And I said, all right, if he leaves, I'm out of it. Well, guess what? He shut the door. He got in his car. He got back out of the car, went back into the store and forgot something. Now I'm stuck. See, what God wanted me to do was put myself aside. I gave that man a track. I said, hey, I'm Pastor Barlow. I'm the pastor at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. And he said, my name's Cody Burns. That's my wife and 5 kids. I said, do you go to church somewhere, son? He said, no, sir, we don't go to church. I said, well, take this tract and read it. I'd like to invite you to church. And what I should have said was, I'm sorry I disobeyed God for the last 10 minutes. What if he would have left? What if he would have left and gotten a car accident on the way home? I don't know. I know this, God knows what he's doing. God don't always have to give us reasons why. Amen? Amen? We say that to our kids all the time. It don't matter why. You do it because I said, do it. Right? That's how we should be with the Lord. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. He expects us to be out doing things in the community, inviting others to church, investing in our younger generation. He expects us to put ourselves and our feelings aside when it comes to the ministry. He expects us to be humble unto Him. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the what? Humble. He expects us to be obedient unto Him. Many of us will die never have been obedient to the Lord because we worry about one thing, the big I. If we worried about Jesus Christ and His ministry as much as we worried about ourselves, we wouldn't have room for people in this church. We wouldn't have room. I wonder, in your own heart, answer this question. When's the last time you invited someone to church? When's the last time you sparked a conversation about Jesus? When's the last time you thought that coworker might be lost? I talk to him all day, every day. When's the last time Jesus came up in the conversation? If I'm going to have the mission that God, if I'm going to complete the mission that God wants me to do, I'm going to have to be honest in what God has called me to do. The Bible says there in verse number 2, but have renounced the hidden things of what? Dishonesty. How many of you know there's dishonesty all around us? I mean, we've all. How many? Raise your hand if you've ever told a lie. Everybody ought to raise their hand, or you just go ahead and raise it now. I'll ask it again. Look, everybody's lied. But listen, when it comes to the things of God, something else we've got to understand is you can't lie to God. Do you understand that? You can't do it. You can try, you can fool yourself, but God knows the truth. He knows exactly what's going on. He's no fool. God is very smart. He's much smarter than you and I. He created us. Amen? I've got to learn to get rid of dishonesty in my life. I've got to stop pretending that I'm someone that I'm not. You ever been around someone like that? They claim to be somebody, but everybody knows they're not who they say they are. Now, how many like being around people like that? Some of you might, but I despise it. I don't want to be around somebody that pretends to be one person and then they're really not. Because again, we can fool man, right? Mankind is foolish in general. We're very easily fooled. How many's ever been lied to and believed the lie? All the time. Happens all the time. But we're not going to be able to lie to God. I've got to stop pretending. I must learn to be a submissive soldier of Jesus Christ. Missionaries, when they are called, listen to this, no doubt they are scared to death. I don't know what my mind would say if God said to me today, I want you to take everything you have, pack it up, go to a country that you've never even heard of, probably can't even spell it. But that's where I have a ministry waiting for you. And these missionaries are like, and here's another thing. Every missionary that's ever been called was working in their local church. Pay close attention. God's never going to call you if you're not doing anything here. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got from my pastor was this. Invest where you are planted now. Because God's not going to call someone that's lazy in their local church to do anything else anywhere. Because He can't trust you. See what I'm saying? Bloom where you are planted. So all those missionaries, they're in these ministries, and listen, they're excited about what God's doing with them in their local church. Many of them are probably content to sit there and just stay involved in their local church. And then all of a sudden God says, okay, son, you've been faithful in the little things. Now I'm going to make you faithful in the great things. Here's what I want you to do. You've proven you have the ability through me. I've proven to you that I'm there for you. I've proven that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've showed you that I'm capable to do abundantly above and beyond what you could ever think or ask. Here's what I want you to do. Take your wife. Take your kids. Go to America, Samoa. We'll meet them in just a few weeks. And they were in a very established church. Their church supports over 250 missionaries every single month. Very established church. And he said, what about my church? I'm paraphrasing. You can see what he could be thinking though, right? I got a house. I got a good church. I got a good job. My pastor's here. My mom and dad's here. Grandma and grandpa's here. Our kids are in school. God, you want me to do what? Son, I want you to pack your family up and take a mission trip to America, Samoa, because that's where I'm going to put you. And by the way, where God guides, He provides. And where God guides, He goes. See, the reality is this. Don't think of it that, well, what about the unknowns? Here's the thing. God already knows everything. He's already got things put together. It just takes some obedience. Just takes some obedience. It was hard when God told me, you're leaving Seward. It was hard. It wasn't easy. My dream was to pastor that church there. Brother Joe, I love those people. I had invested into those kids in that community, and I had won through Christ many of their moms and dads to the Lord, and God was using my family there. And my desire was to stay and pastor there. But God said, that's not what I wanted. There's another man for that job. I'm just preparing you, Drew, to go home and win your people. And he started reminding me of the prayer that I had been praying for years. God, if you'll just give me a second chance to go home, let me minister to the people that I used to be a fool around. Let me show them what God's grace has done in my life. If you'll just let me go back and be a light. And he did. But it wasn't easy to uproot. It was tough. A lot of questions, Brother Randy. A lot of questions. God, what about this? What about that? And every time it was like this. You know that faith that your pastor's been teaching you all about? And that you're slowly starting to pick up on, Brother Drew? God said, don't go backwards. Go forward. You've been begging for years for me to open this door for you. Well, now's the time. 14 years. 14 years. A lot of heartache. A lot of souls saved. A lot of people's lives changed. I've seen a lot of hurt. But I've seen a lot of God. I've seen a whole bunch of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, listen, I want to see a whole lot more of God. I know what it's like to have that overwhelming presence of God where you can do nothing but cry. I like to call them those burning bush experiences, Miss Janet. You know, God said, hey, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground now. I know what it's like to sit and be asleep in a time in my life where I was losing a loved one and I was trying to get there to say goodbye. And God wakes me up out of a dead sleep. And I mean the most peace I've ever felt in my life and haven't felt it since. Not like that. And he said, it's okay. I know what it's like to sit in the hospital not knowing if my baby girl is going to come out of there with me or not. I didn't know. But I remembered that time that God gave me that peace that I asked for. And it was like, God said, don't you remember what I did for you before, son? Don't you know I'm still the same today, yesterday, and forever? I'm still the same God. I'm the waverer, not him. I'm the one whose faith wavered. God's faith has never wavered. God's the same every single day. I wonder what God could do with us if our faith is where it belongs. I feel like the Lord wants to unplug right there. We're going to do that. Can Miss Tony, could you come to the piano this morning, and we're going to heads bowed, eyes closed. We're not going